Sometimes I think of the story with the four friends who brought this paralyzed man, if you remember that. And sometimes when we go through life, it doesn't matter how strong we feel spiritually, it doesn't matter how big ministers we are, we come to the place where we feel like paralyzed by a problem, by losing a dear friend or a father or a mother. And then you gotta know that you have brothers and sisters who can carry you, like these four people carry this paralyzed man. And I always lean on my brothers and sisters. I know that I have brothers and sisters everywhere, and when I call them, I can trust that they will pray for me and they will lift me up with their prayers. I believe that every one of us has a gift. The Bible says that everyone has a gift. Everyone is called to the ministry. And if the Lord has given us an authority as fathers, employers, pastors, ministers, we have to serve the people from that position. The Lord is looking always for servants. He's not looking for the big shots. He's looking for servants. And I love to say this, that the Lord always looking, He's not looking for successful people, He's looking for faithful people. He's not looking for people who have many talents, He's looking for hearts who are available. To say, Lord, I am available, I don't have much, I feel like I'm with like the boy with the five loaves of bread and the two fishes, but Lord, this is what I've got. And then when we give the Lord to this little thing, He can multiply it. And we will participate of this. The Lord is always looking for servants. If you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you have to become the last. The Lord is not, I love to say that, the Lord is not looking, the Lord never uses lazy people. Because if you are lazy in the physical, you will be lazy in the spiritual. And everyone that was called by the Lord in the Bible was doing something already. Everyone of the Bible that the Lord has called, everybody was doing something. And I want to start, if you brought your Bibles, from Psalm 34, verse 18. And then we're going to look two stories. Psalm 34 and verse 18. How many of you want to be close to the Lord? Somebody said, in fact, James said, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So if you think that the Lord is far away, guess who has departed? It's not Him. It's not Him.
That's it.
So in Psalm 34, verse 18, it says that the Lord is night. Is this the word night or near?
Night.
Okay, the Lord is near to them who have graduated from a Bible school and know the Greek, the New Testament in Greek.
Sure.
The Lord is near to those who go and preach everywhere. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. It says that the Lord is near unto them who are of a broken heart and saves such as of contrite spirit. If we want the Lord to be close to us, we have to have this heart condition. Without it, the Lord will be away from us. I love home groups because I love to see people's faces. You know, when you go to church, you don't see people's faces. You see their necks on the back. But here I can see you. I can touch you. I can say that I have a need and we can pray for one another. And I believe that this is the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ. Somebody said that the land at the cross of Golgotha is flat. Everybody is equal before the Lord. It is interesting when the Lord healed Job. The Lord healed Job after he prayed for his friends. Not before that. And sometimes we are seeking the Lord to heal us or to touch us or to supply our need. And of course then we are in the center. But when we start praying and giving to other people, then the Lord sees our deeds and He is healing us. Okay, open with me to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'll show you a little bit in at the Grace Church. And it's a very good verse. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Okay, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. Not before, but after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. One brother had a vision of this verse. And he saw how Jesus was departing from the earth, and the Lord gave him this revelation. He saw Jesus behind the clouds when he was ascending to the Father. And two angels came to greet him, to greet Jesus. And they said, Jesus, you did wonderful, wonderful work. You shed your blood for the sins of all people. You did everything for the redemption of mankind. And one of the angels said, but Jesus, how the people on the earth will know what you have done on the cross? And Jesus said, well, I left 12 people. 12 people, and they are my church. And they will tell the whole world what I have done. And one of the angels asked Jesus, but what about if they fail? Do you have a plan B? And Jesus said, no, I don't have plan B. These are the only ones, these disciples are the only plan I have. I don't have plan B, plan C. So I want to encourage each one of us that Jesus doesn't have plan B. He's not going to send angels. We are His feet, we are His mouth, we are His witnesses.
Yes.
We are the expressions of Christ on this earth. Here it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. It is interesting that don't open there. I will read that verse from Luke chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See the verse 1 of Luke. It says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And see where the Holy Spirit led him. Into the wilderness.
Yes. Yes.
And then in verse 12, in verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And they went of a fame of him through all the region around him. See, Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. 12 verses later, he came back from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there was something between the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was the wilderness. Mm. But the problem is that we don't like the wilderness.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
But yes, if you don't go through the wilderness, you have nothing to give.
Yes. Mm.
How do you know that you have faith if you have not experienced anything?
Mm.
How do you know that that your faith is real if you have not passed through the wilderness experience? Because the wilderness is the, how I can say, the spiritual surgical table where they make surgery.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the Lord operates in our hearts. And when you are in the wilderness, when we accept Jesus, we are full with the Spirit. And then we are led into the wilderness. While in the wilderness, we have two choices. We can become bigger, or we can become better.
Yes.
Unfortunately, most Christians, they become bitter. They become bitter against their employer, husband or wife, children, father, mother, everybody. And they're blaming everybody else for their faults. But the Lord wants to purify our hearts. And we have to, in the wilderness, we have to give our rights to the Lord. Let me ask you something. What is this?
Ring.
It's a ring. It's a wedding ring. What is made of? Gold. Okay. We can say that it is gold, but in fact it's not gold. Because pure gold is 24 carats. This ring is 14 carats, which means that the rest of the carats, 10 carats, are added things like brass and other materials. And I can say that this is gold, but with my eye I cannot see the brass and the other materials. And there are things in you, in my heart, that we cannot see them unless we are put in fire or in the wilderness. And the reason that the Lord wanted to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, it says that it takes only 8 days from Egypt to the promised land. But He led them to the wilderness. Because He wanted in the wilderness to purify, to meet with them at the Mount Sinai, and to purify their hearts. There is a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, because of time we're not going to open there. Because the Lord says, I want you to see what is in your heart. The Lord already knew that there was rebellion and bitterness in their hearts, but they didn't know it. And sometimes the Lord will put us in situations where you are going to say, oh, I didn't know that this anger was inside of me. I didn't know that I am a greedy person. I didn't know that I envy somebody. Unless we go through this, and then we have a choice. We can say, Lord, purify me. Purify me, I want to be pure as gold. Or we can become bitter. We can start blaming everybody and everything. It says about John. We are not going to open because of time. In Luke chapter 2 verse 80, it says that John was growing strong in the Spirit. John the Baptist. He was growing strong in the Spirit. And today, it doesn't say that John was strong in knowledge. It doesn't say that John was strong in flesh. It doesn't say that John was strong in education. But he was strong in Spirit. And how John became strong in the Spirit? Because he was in the wilderness. And it says that the Word of God came to John when he was in the wilderness. And of course we don't like the wilderness. And sometimes we will think that we have sinned somewhere, we have this problem because you are sick because there is some secret sin. But of course the Lord wants to bring us there and to purify us. And there is one verse from a Song of Solomon in the last chapter 8. It says, who is she that comes out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? You lean on somebody when you don't have any strength to walk. But when you feel strong in the flesh, or when you still feel strong in the soul, in your emotions, you don't need the Lord. And usually when we go through the wilderness, the Lord will purify our hearts. There is one, it says in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this is the Greek word sons, it's the Greek word huios, which means mature sons. Mm-hmm. See, it's much easier to follow a list with do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. Much easier. Much harder is to hear from the Lord and to be led by the Spirit. I remember when I was in the Bible school and we were coming back from a picnic from Saratoga Springs. And it was about 12:30. So we were going with one sister, her name was Jane, with one Bulgarian pastor, my wife, and one other sister. So we were going down this hill. And while we were going down this hill, we saw a broken car. And there was some lady there wondering about the car, and the front hood was open. So we went down the hill, and the sister that was driving, she said, well, I think that we were supposed to go back, drive back, and help that lady. And of course, my flesh was angry. I said, we're going to miss the lunch, because the lunch was 12:30. And I said, let somebody else help. But because she was the driver, well, I didn't say it outwardly. I said in my heart. Many things we said in our heart.
That's right.
With our mouth we can say a lot of things, but what is in our heart? That's why I say, Charles Hahn used to say, do you know that God sees and God hears? We know it up here. But if we know it with our hearts, many of the things we say, many of the things we do, we won't do them, and we won't say them. So else, in my heart, I say, well, let somebody else help. But the Lord spoke to her, and she was led by the Spirit to go back. See, the Greek word for obey, it's the Greek word hupo, or kao, which is made out of two words. Hupo means above. Akao means to hear. We have the word acoustic. So to obey the Lord, it means that everything that you hear from the Lord, you have to obey under its authority, under the word of God. So this means to obey the Lord. So we drove up, and the car was stuck. The broken car was down the hill. It was very, steep hill, yeah. So we drove, and we wanted to pull behind the car. But while we were pulling behind the car, this car started moving, the broken car. And we were moving with 5 miles per hour. So while we were moving, I opened the back door and I jumped. And I start. If you could see it, you would think that somebody was making Hollywood movie action. I started running. The lady of the car, she tried to stop the car. And she tried a little bit, but then she moved away. Because the car was very, very heavy. It was white. And the car started going down. And I was running. I opened the door of the driver, and I jumped inside. And I said, praise the Lord. But I said it too early. Because when I pressed the brakes, there were no brakes. So, what do you do? See, I'm a driver, and I could go down the hill, no problem, by steering. But the problem was that the hood was open, and I couldn't see anything. The front hood was open. On this side, there was a big, a gap.
A big cliff
like half a mile. It was like that because we were in a hill and going down. And it was very stiff. So the car started going down. So I pressed a couple of times the brakes. There were no brakes. And then I remembered that there was an emergency brake. And I pulled the emergency brake and the car little by little stopped. And then I said, praise the Lord. And when I said, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, then I felt somebody's presence behind me. I turned around and there was a 3-year-old girl. On the back seat.
Oh, wow.
If we were, like I was thinking, if we were about 5 seconds late, there was no way for me to stop that car. It was going down the steep with that little girl. So, what I want to say, when the Lord speaks to us, we have to obey immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
And we don't have to question, we just have to say, Lord, here am I will follow you. So, let's look at in the wilderness is the place where the Lord wants to change our hearts. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Chapter 22. Oh, I'm sorry. I got it wrong, I think. Give me just 1 second. Where Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you. I got it all wrong.
Maybe
31.
See here, 31. Chapter 22, 31.
22:31, yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I said 31. Okay, 22:31. And Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. The only reason that you and I are here is because Jesus is praying for us.
Yes.
This is the only reason. I know we can pray for one another, the pastor can pray for us, but the main reason is because Jesus is praying for us. So it doesn't matter to what situation we are going, we know that we have an intercessor in heaven. And he's praying for us. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. When you are converted, when you are changed, when you are transformed. Jesus was transformed into the wilderness. Satan will come to us, and the Lord wants to convert us, to come by being fleshly, to become spiritual. In Bulgaria, our electricity is 220. Here it's 110. And when I went back to Bulgaria, I needed a converter, something to convert the electricity from 220 to 110. And usually this is what happens in the wilderness. The Lord will convert us. From our understanding, we'll have His understanding. His thoughts will become our thoughts. His ways will become our ways. But we have to yield at Him, to His things. I have prayed for you that your... another translation says that you don't lose your faith. I'm thinking, is it possible to lose the faith? Can the life slap us in the face so that we lose our faith? There was one couple of years ago, there was a big hurricane in Venezuela. And many, many people died. And I think the president of the States, George Bush, went down there. It was, I think, 2002 or 2003. He went down there to express his sorrow with the people. And he saw one man there. His house was rubble. There was nothing. He lost his wife and two daughters in this hurricane. And the president went there and he said, Sir, I'm sorry. I am a participant of your sorrow. I'm very sorry about that. What has happened to you? And he turned away and he started walking backwards. And the man said, Mr. President. And the president turned around and the man said, I lost everything. I lost my home. I lost my family. But I didn't lose my faith in God. And Jesus is saying in the Matthew chapter 24, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find the faith? Will he find this kind of faith? This kind of faith who is not seeking the hand of God, but seeking the face of God. Many in Bulgaria and all over the world, for many people, for me, Jesus is not hobby on Sunday morning. He's not my business. I don't go to church because I don't have anything else to do. He's my life. And I believe that the time is coming when Jesus, Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, when Christ our life appears. Many of us, we have experienced Him as a Savior. We have experienced Him as a healer, if He has healed us. We have experienced Him as provider. But I believe that the time is coming when we'll have to experience Him as our life. Jesus said, apart of me, you can do nothing. And see how many things we do without Him.
Yeah.
And we make the blessing, they say, the Lord bless it, the Lord bless it. And many Christians, for many Christians, God is like a spare tire. You know, you're driving, as you know, and if something happens, something wrong with your tire, if you get flat tire, you get up, and you change the tire, and you're driving your own way. But see, the Lord wants to be the driver. He doesn't want to be the spare tire. He wants us to see Him not only when everything goes wrong. He wants to see Him when everything is well. When everything is well. When I was a small child, in Bulgaria, you know, I was sharing with the kids there that when I was a small child, there was nothing in the store, in the stores. You've got only one kind of candy, one kind of milk, one kind of bread. There was only one kind. You cannot choose many. So for my mother to bring me a candy or a chocolate, that was, I mean, a celebration day. Mm-hmm. And when I was a small child, when she comes back from work, do you know where I was looking at her? I was looking her at her hands, what she would bring me, if she was going to bring me something. Because as a child, I wanted something from her to bless me with a candy, with a chocolate. But today, when I'm grown up, when I see her, I don't look at her hands. I look at her face. And I want to spend time with her. I want to sit down and share my heart, and she will share her heart. So usually when we are little children in the Lord, we seek the Lord for His hand. And when we grow up, we are starting to see His face. And of course, if we have His face, we'll have all the rest. There was, while in the wilderness, there is this danger that we can become bitter. And right now in Bulgaria, in the capital, in Sofia, there are more Christians who don't go to church on Sunday morning than those who go to church. And bitterness is your greatest enemy. Bitterness and unforgiveness. And if we allow bitterness and unforgiveness to come into our heart, we are done. You remember the first two brothers, Cain and Abel? Cain, let me read. And bitterness will always lead to deception. They always are on promotion. 2-for-1. Bitterness and unforgiveness. And see, it says here, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? The Lord is asking him a question. Why are you angry? Because the Lord received the sacrifice of Abel. And it says, the verse before that, but unto Cain and his offerings he had not respect, and Cain was very angry. Another translation says he became bitter, and his countenance fell, which means in the Old Testament, this is he became how can I say it? Deceived. He became deceived. And it is interesting, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you shall you not be accepted. If you don't do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And then we see that Cain kills Abel. It is always much easier to kill your brother with attitude, with bad words, with deeds, than to kill your pride and ego. And see how the story ends. In verse 16 it says, and after Cain killed him, it says, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. See, the Lord didn't leave Cain. Cain came out of the presence of the Lord because his heart was angry and was bitter. And dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. The word Nod means wandering. So bitter people never get better. They are always wandering from one place to another. They are always wondering why the Lord is not blessing them. Why they are going from one trouble to another. Why they go from problem to problem. That is very important to allow the Lord to work on our hearts, on our character. I'm not a very good artist, so please don't laugh at me. I wrote you something. Okay, this is a donkey, a horse, and a cart.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, it's not good to laugh. It's not good. Just pretend that it is good. So the donkey or the horse is our character. The cart is our ministry. Our ministry will never jump before our character. Our character, our integrity has to lead our ministry.
That's right.
It's always there. So, if you think, let's say you have some problem with your character, let's say that, not lazy, but you're not on time. Bulgarians, they are never on time. If you say, I'll see you at 8 o'clock, that means at least 8:30. But the Africans are even worse.
Yeah.
So we are between.
They are.
We are between. So let's say that I am not on time. Why do I think that when the Lord puts me in a ministry, suddenly I will change in my character and I'll be on time? No, this will affect this fault, this weakness in my character will affect my ministry. It always will affect it. That's why the Lord wants to work on our character, on our integrity. And then our character will not corrupt our ministry. Or the ministry will not corrupt us. So this is very important to allow the Lord to change our hearts. Okay, I'm almost done.
Thank you.
Jesus is saying, thank you Lord that I'm done. Jesus is saying, the harvest is white.
Yes.
But the money are few.
No.
No? Okay, the harvest is white.
Uh-huh.
The harvest is white, but the commentators of you. No, he's saying the harvest is white, but the workers of you. There are few workers, few people who are available to the Lord. To say, Lord, I know it's very easy to sing, Lord, send me wherever you want. But sometimes the Lord will send us to places where our flesh will want to run from there. I was in one place in Nepal. I mean, I didn't want to stay for a day. I mean, these 10 days for me were like 10 years. I was counting the time to my flight. I was going to see these airplanes, how they were going to go, how they were flying out, and I would say, well, how I want to be on that airplane.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah. But see, it's much, much harder to live what you have confessed, what you confessed. So the Lord is always looking for workers, people who are available to Him, with their gifts. It is interesting that when Jesus raised up Lazarus, you know, it was a great story. Jesus resurrected him. And I was thinking that Lazarus probably was going to write at least a gospel. But there was no gospel of Lazarus. You would think that Lazarus will write at least an epistle. But we don't see an epistle of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we see Lazarus is in John chapter 12. And the only thing what we see with him was that Lazarus was sitting with Jesus on the table. He was not doing anything. And he was there as a witness, as a testimony to all the people.
Amen.
You don't have to write a book. You don't have to, unless the Lord leads you, you don't have to sing. You don't have to preach. Just be faithful to the Lord, where the Lord has put you. At the working place, at the school, in your family, in your church. Just be with Jesus at the table as a testimony what the Lord has done in your life. How you are dead in your sins and trespasses, and how you have passed from death to life. And the Lord will use that. So, I'll finish with one verse from Exodus. Are you still here? Am I taking too much time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one last verse from Exodus, chapter 13. I am almost done. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 and 9 through 19. 13:17-19. And it came to pass when the Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. See, the Lord didn't let them to the land of the Philistines. Although that was near. For God said, let their adventure, the people repent when they see war, and they shall return to Egypt. But God led the people about to the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had prayed this one the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. See, the Lord didn't choose the shortcut. And this is what I want to finish with. In the Lord, there are no shortcuts. We will have to go through the wilderness. We will have to go through troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is delivering him from all them. Many. Not few. Not more. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul is encouraging the church. And see how he is encouraging the church. He said, through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Not through tribulations, through many. And that's scary. Through many.
Yes.
And see, the tribulation doesn't have to do always with your environment, with your physical. Because when you do the will of God, you will suffer. People will talk behind your back, people will betray you. But you have to go forward. And suddenly we see here the bones of Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was a man of God who didn't go to the shortcut. He went to everything. To all the trial. And the bones of Joseph were testimony that God is faithful not only to get them, not only to get the children out of Egypt, but he was also faithful to bring them into the promised land.
Yes.
And tonight, we don't have the bones of Joseph here, but we have the cross of Jesus Christ. Knowing that God is not only faithful to get us out of our sins and our trespasses, but God is also faithful to bring us into his kingdom. And he who has begun the good work in you, he is faithful to bring it to the end. So, praise the Lord that God has the last word in our life. It's not the doctor, it's not the employer, the Lord has the word, the last word in our life. And the best is yet to come. So may the Lord bless you, may the grace of God be abundant in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may He shine with His face upon you. And give you peace. And may His peace reign in your heart and your mind. Amen.
Amen.